Good morning once again. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 14. We will start in Proverbs chapter 14. I have several Proverbs I'd like you to look at this morning, however. Lord, as we look into your word, we ask that you would give us understanding, that you would open our eyes to truth, that we would come with the attitude, yes, Lord. No matter what you say, we would be those who would obey you. Because you know the right path in life to take. You make abundant life available to us. Lord, I ask that you would rescue this morning. Rescue anyone here this morning that might be walking down a very dangerous path. Step in. Intervene. Rescue. I ask, Lord, that you would keep all of us from making a wrong turn in life. Lord, I also pray that if there would be anybody here this morning who is not in your kingdom, that you would redeem them from the kingdom of darkness this morning. Bless this time, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a famous line that came from a popular television show several years ago. The main character in the show would say, "Please, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." What show was that? The Incredible Hulk. Wasn't that a great show? I loved that show. I watched it every week as a child, as cheesy as it was. Man, special effects have come a long way since Lou Ferrigno in green makeup. But what a show and what a story. And what a picture that is of anger out of control. A man in rage turns into a green monster and destroys everything in his path. Anger, out of control, unbridled rage. All of us get angry, don't we? Every single one of us here this morning knows what it's like to feel anger. We've all experienced that burning, that irritation, that desire to lash out. And researchers do even tell us that anger does impact our bodies. We don't turn green or grow muscles. But according to one researcher, here's the symptoms of somebody who's gotten angry. Respiration deepens. The heart beats more rapidly. The arterial pressure rises. The blood is shifted from the stomach and intestines to the heart, central nervous system, and the muscles. The processes of the alimentary canal cease. Sugar is freed from the reserves in the liver. The spleen contracts and discharges its contents of concentrated corpuscles. And adrenaline is secreted. That happens. We do get angry. But that does not mean that we have to become monsters. Anger cannot be helped at certain times, but we can control that anger. Now, the book of Proverbs teaches that a person who cannot control their anger is in for a lot of trouble in life. big problems coming down the chute for a person like that. But a person who can control their anger, who can maintain their cool, who can stay calm, a person like that's going to have a healthy, safe, productive life. We're studying the book of Proverbs to learn how God wants us to make the most out of life, to live life to the fullest. And listen, if you want to live life to the fullest, you have to be able to manage the anger. So important. Look at verse 17 of chapter 14. We'll start there. And really, just the first part of that verse, it says, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. There's the problem person right there. The quick-tempered man. The quick-tempered woman. The quick-tempered person is the person who gets angry quickly, with little or no provocation. We talk about people having short fuses, right? That's the quick-tempered man. The quick-tempered person is like a stick of dynamite with a short fuse. They get lit very quickly, and a couple seconds later, they explode. They blow their top. That's a very dangerous person. That's a scary person. In fact, it's been said anger is only one letter removed from danger. The angry person can be very, very dangerous, that quick-tempered person. There are several Hebrew words translated anger, wrath, fury in the Old Testament. For instance, there's the word kara or karon, which means anger, usually translated anger, but it speaks of a burning anger. Then there's the Hebrew word kama, which is usually translated wrath, and that speaks of the explosive anger. Quick anger, blowing your top anger, Hulk smash anger. Then there's the Hebrew word yakam, which means to be fiery, to be hot. All of those words have fire, burning, heat in common, don't they? And that's what anger is. It's like a fire. Your temper increases your temperature. That's why we call people hotheads. Or we tell people, you know, you need to cool off. Anger is this fire within. And you have to be able to control that fire or quench it, or you get into big trouble. There are two main Greek words translated anger, wrath in the New Testament now. There's the Greek word orge, which again means anger, but it speaks of a state of being. This is the person who has an anger in them that stews, that's simmering, that's there for a long time and builds up in bitterness and resentment. Then there's the Greek word thumos, which is the outburst of anger, the explosive form of anger. And I believe that both of those are very disruptive forms of anger. It'll get you into a lot of trouble. That anger that a person would just sort of carry around in them, let it simmer around inside for years. Bitterness, resentment, vengeance, grudges. And then, of course, there's the explosive anger, where you just blow your top. A person who cannot control their anger, who lets their anger get the best of them in those ways, they're going to face some difficult consequences. There's going to be some issues in their life. There's going to be some problems in their lives. And I want to just very briefly take you through some Proverbs that show the consequences of that kind of anger. Start here again in verse 17. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. Same chapter, look at verse 29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Now again, that's speaking of the quick-tempered person, the person who blows up very quickly. That person exalts folly. In other words, if you cannot control your anger, you are going to do foolish things that you regret. You are going to say foolish things that you regret. You are going to make a fool out of yourself many times over. Will Rogers said, people who fly into a rage always make a bad landing. And eventually, if you can't control your anger, you're going to make a bad landing. You're going to do or say something foolish. We've seen that a lot of times in life. I know I have. Have you ever seen an adult throw a temper tantrum? You ever watch that? Yeah, it's funny at first. Sort of laugh at them. But my goodness, some people just make total fools out of themselves. Say and do the most foolish things. Many years ago, when I was in Albuquerque, I worked at a Home Depot-like place. There wasn't any Home Depots back then, but this was like one of those stores. And by the way, let me just say, be nice to people who work at Home Depots. You see, when you work at a place like Home Depot, you deal with a lot of people who have just had something in their house break. And a lot of times they're very angry and they vent their anger on you. So be extra nice to those orange vests, okay? The blue vests. You don't want to leave out Lowe's as well. But there was this one afternoon when I was working at this place, and it was very busy. And it's many years ago, and I remember it so clearly. There was this distinguished gentleman standing in line holding packages of light bulbs. Suit and tie. And I was standing pretty close to him, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened to this guy, but he just snapped. He just snapped. I don't know if it was waiting in line or whatever. He went berserk. He started cursing, shouting. He dropped to his knees and began smashing light bulbs over and over and over again. I thought, what a fool. And he did. He made a total fool of himself and, by the way, had to pay for damaged goods as well. I had a friend in high school and in college who had a legendary temper, especially in sports. Playing tennis with him one day and, well, I got to admit, I was beating him pretty soundly. But he made a few bad shots and finally, at one point, he threw his racket into the parking lot. Went, got into his car, drove over his racket, backed up over his racket, drove over it, backed up, and spilled out. That's nuts. Same guy launched his whole bag of golf clubs right into the middle of the lake. Foolish. People who can't control their anger, man, they're doing foolish things like that all the time. They're breaking stuff. The same friend of mine, he had a dad, and apparently he learned all this from his dad. And one afternoon, his dad was out mowing the lawn in the backyard. The mower wouldn't work. So he kept, you know, and with every pull, he got madder and madder. And finally, he picked the lawnmower up over his head. Body slammed it into the ground and repeatedly did that over and over. Destroyed the lawnmower and slipped a disc. foolishness, folly. Look back over your life. Consider some of the most foolish things you've done. Did that come out of anger? Ever broken anything out of anger? Are there any holes in your walls at home? Slammed doors? Punched walls? Ever picked up anything? Thrown it? Smashed it? Can't control your anger. It's like you become insane and you do the stupidest things. And then worst of all, oftentimes when you can't control your anger, you will damage people with words. You'll tell people that you love very dearly things that you wish you hadn't said. And you'll go back to them later and you'll say, I didn't mean that, but the damage is done. It's been said that an angry man is again angry with himself when he returns to reason. Consequence of anger, it will lead to foolish things. Look over at chapter 15. Verse 18. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22 says, an angry man stirs up strife. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 33, just listen to this one. For as the churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife. It's like a law. It's like a natural law. The person who cannot control their anger will experience lots of strife in this life. That person will have lots of people problems. That person will have lots of relationships fail. You see, the person who can't control their anger oftentimes doesn't know it. They're hotheads and they don't know it. And it seems like with angry people like that, fights find them. Have you noticed that? They always find strife. They don't know it, but they're sort of walking around with the attitude like, I dare you, cross my path, feel my wrath. They love to get in the middle of other people's fights and spread it. And by their anger and their harsh words, they add fuel to the fire. And so the person who is not able to control his anger will always be fighting with people at work, in the neighborhood, among friends. And listen very carefully, a person like that will make things very, very difficult for the spouse and for the children. Some of you know exactly what it feels like to live with a hothead. There are some of you probably even here this morning who know that's your deal. You need to understand that's very, very serious. You need to get control of your anger. I believe that after our relationship with God, it's relationship with other people that matters most in this life. Listen, if you can't get along with other people, you're destined to fail. Everything in life deals with other people, right? And if you can't control your anger, you know what? You're a scary person. You're abusive. People are intimidated by you. And there's all sorts of broken relationships that will litter your trail in life. Again, I mentioned my friend earlier. I could mention him again here. He was always in fights with people. Always in fights, fist fights. Just had that reputation. And you know what? It spilled into every area of his life. I totally lost touch with him. I understand he did get married, but that marriage failed. And the last I heard of my friend, he lives like a hermit somewhere, just angry at people. You don't want that in your life, do you? That anger that destroys relationships. Look at chapter 19. Verse 19. This is a serious consequence. They're all serious, but here's another one. Proverbs 19, verse 19. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Now that's very serious. That Hebrew word for punishment there speaks of a formal, legal type of punishment. It's indemnity. It's like a fine. It's like a court date. It's like a prison term. A person with anger out of control, listen, I believe eventually that person will be standing before authorities. A person like that will eventually have court dates. A person like that will get into trouble with the police. A person like that might even kill someone. Or assault someone. Commit voluntary manslaughter. Heat of the moment crimes. It happens. Person like that who can't get control of their anger, eventually something's going to happen in their life and they're going to hit a spouse or hit a child or damage somebody else's property. I have sat down with many fathers who have lost it with kids and gotten in big trouble. Again, my friend, he's been a great example for this whole sermon. Sort of like the Hulk. He got in trouble with the law. He was out speeding and the cop's siren went on and he got angry. Tried to outrun the cop. Fines, court dates. On and on. I'm telling you, this uncontrollable anger can lead to very serious consequences. Look over at chapter 29, verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife. We read that earlier. And a furious man abounds in transgression. The idea here is that the angry person will have a life filled with transgression. Uncontrollable anger leads to all kinds of sin. It's one of those things that will cause sin and transgression to absolutely abound in your life. And that's absolutely true. The angry person gets easily offended. If anybody comes against an angry person, a quick-tempered person, or does damage to a quick-tempered person, look out, the fight's on, right? And oftentimes that person, in wanting to get even with the other person, will commit all kinds of sins, start gossiping and slandering about people. That's sin. Telling lies to that person, that's sin. Assaulting the person, that would obviously be sin. Violence against that person, sin. Property damage, sin. Unforgiveness in your heart, sin. And you know, anger has caused a lot of people to justify all kinds of sinful behavior. People get kooky. A person might get mad at the government. I'm so mad at the government. I'm going to get back at the government. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to pay my taxes this year. You're going to get a whole lot angrier at the government, buddy. Or a person might get very angry at his or her work situation. You've been there for years, you've been faithful, but you got passed over. Maybe it was unjust. But what do you do with that anger? Does that anger say, well, I'm going to start ripping off the company. I'll start cheating on my time. After all, I make everything happen around here. I deserve it. Look out. Anger left unchecked can turn into something so terrible, like psychopathic behavior. Last year on April 16th, Sing Wee Cho killed 32 people and wounded many others before committing suicide at Virginia Tech University. You remember that? There were tapes, there were notes left by. Perhaps some of you even saw some of those demented videos. This person was angry. He was angry at life. He was angry at the rich. He was angry at the apparent personal injustices he suffered in his sick, twisted mind. This is where anger can lead. These are the consequences of a person who can't control their anger. They're going to do foolish things that they regret. Say foolish things that they regret. There's going to be all kinds of strife in their life. All kinds of people problems. There might even be legal problems that person will face. And that person's life will be filled with transgression. Do you want that? Oh, anger's dangerous, isn't it? But in all the verses we saw, we saw that if a person can control their anger, the inverse of all of that is true. If you can control that fire, if you can put that fire out even, you will be a man or a woman of understanding who will do right things in life, not things that you regret. You, for the most part, will have wonderful, good, quality relationships with all the people in your life. You'll be safer from a legal perspective. And you know what? It won't lead you into all kinds of sin. You'll have lots of fruit of righteousness in your life and peace and love, joy. So, how do we control our anger? Perhaps some of you sit here this morning and you would just freely admit, my problem is anger. I'm that angry person, and I'd like some help. Well, I think Proverbs has some wonderful, wonderful principles for all of us to consider. And all of us as Christians should take a good look at these principles, because there are going to be times in life where you get angry, right? Probably even this afternoon. We can start practicing these principles today. A few things to think about. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 22. I think this one is very important. Look at verse 24. Check this out. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. You know what that tells us? We should not be hanging out with angry people. Especially if you've got an anger problem. Who's your influence? Who do you hang with? Hang out with people that will speak peace and love. Surround yourselves with people who can control themselves. You may be hanging out with a circle of people, a group of people that stir up anger in your life. And you might just have to have a conversation with them and say, I can't do this anymore. If this doesn't change, I need to go find some new friends. Anger, people rub off on us, don't we? There's no doubt. Angry people can influence you and cause you to become more angry. Peaceful people can promote peace in your life. So very true. Let me again just talk to dads very specifically in this whole topic. It is so important that you get control of your anger, especially because your kids are watching. And if you are an angry man, that anger will spread to your kids. There was a journalist who was going to do a story on the Amish people. So he studied the Amish people for several months, and he went to the schoolyard and he noticed that none of the Amish kids yelled or screamed. And he thought, that is really weird. So he went to the schoolmaster and he said, I've never seen an Amish child yell. And the schoolmaster replied, well, have you ever heard an Amish adult yell? Parents, don't be angry for the sake of your kids. They're watching. Or learn how to control that anger. I would also say this in the same vein of thought here. Don't surround yourself with the influence of angry people. Don't listen to angry people too often. When I began working as an engineer after the Home Depot job, I had an office job and I had a programming job. I did a lot of programming, and so I was able to just be in my office by myself, very little interaction with people, just shut the door and do a lot of code writing. And in a job like that, I was able to listen to the radio all day long. And I went through a phase where I was listening to talk radio from 8 to 5. Now, I got to admit, there's a lot of guys that I listen to that I like. But man, there's a whole lot of anger in talk radio. And if you listen to stuff like that 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, you get angry. I found myself getting angry. Some of you guys, you spend all your time watching wrestling on TV. Have you seen all the tough men shows out there now, all the fights? You get in the chain and you get in the cage and you just fight it out. And some of it's getting really brutal. I worry about the guy that's just watching that all the time. is that really entertainment, or is that going to impact you? Is that going to cause you to go out on the street the next day looking for a fight? You're a tough man now. Proverbs says, don't hang out with the angry person. Look at chapter 19. Verse 11. And this one is so key. Oh, if we could all get this one, the world would be a greater place. Look at verse 11, chapter 19. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Oh, listen to that. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, writes, the glory of a man is to be able to look over a transgression. Look over an offense. The idea that we need to become people who don't go into self-defense mode so quickly. Right? Where we get all uptight about whatever anybody might say to us. Or the look that somebody gave us at church on Sunday. Did you see the way that person looked at me? You know? Overlook offenses, overlook things. Here's the reality in life, folks. All of us are going to be hassled by people. We are all going to be hassled by people. People are going to cut us off on the freeway. If you go shopping this Friday, I guarantee you're going to bump into some rude people. Make sure you're not one of them. People will insult you. People will criticize you. People will be mean-spirited towards you. People that you have to work with day in and day out. Solomon said the glory of a person is to be able to just overlook those things. How many of you would call yourself a perfectionist? Just a show of hands. Perfectionist. A few hands. I'm sort of a perfectionist. You know, a perfectionist is somebody who is very concerned about all the details of anything. You know, and you got to be careful, perfectionist, because you're going to get in a lot of trouble with people at times and angry because there's going to be a lot of people that you meet that don't care about all your little details. You know? But some perfectionists, boy, they just blow up and they can't overlook anything. I was at a formal gathering of some type. It may have been a wedding, a reception. And the place was beautiful. It was decked out. The reception was it was just absolutely beautiful. But the person who had ordered everything and absolutely lost it over the way the napkins were folded. I mean, it was the right kind of napkin, the right color napkin. Everything looked beautiful, but this napkin wasn't folded right, and she went berserk. Life is too short for stuff like that. And it's not like they meant it. Can you see people plotting? I really want to get this person, I'm going to fold the napkin and put it here. It was an honest mistake. J.K. Morley said, the size of a man can be measured by the size of the thing that makes him angry. I like that. Now, Pastor Terry, what if somebody does something very, very offensive to me? What if somebody really wrongs me? What if somebody, you know, sins against me? You know what? people are going to do some things, and you need to respond to that, and you need to, there's things that you shouldn't look over. And the Bible says if somebody has offended you, you're to go to them and talk to them about it and have an honest discussion about it. And the Scripture says that no matter how that plays out, as a Christian man or woman, you're to forgive. Peter asked Jesus one day, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And he thought he was being awesome. Seven times, Lord? Jesus said to him, I say to you, up to seven, not up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, he wasn't being literal there. He wasn't saying 490 times only. If you take it literal and you're forgiving people and, you know, counting up to 490, I feel sorry for you. You're warped. Jesus is saying, forgive people indefinitely. Forgive them indefinitely. Now, why would Jesus tell us that? So that we can be doormats for the rest of our lives? No. The Lord knows that unforgiveness in the heart destroys that person. It's bitterness, grudge, resentment. It's prison. You may be harboring all this bitterness against another person, you know, plotting, and that person doesn't know it. That person's just going about their life. The only one that's hurting is you. I was told about a pastor whose wife, very early on in their marriage, was unfaithful to him. Of course, you know, that would be a very, very difficult thing to have to go through. But this pastor decided that he would stay with his wife. But he had also determined in his heart that on the day that their last child got married, he'd leave her. And that's exactly what this guy did. 25 years later, when his last child got married, he announced to the family that he was leaving his wife. Now, can you imagine the prison that that man was in for those years? Just the plotting, the planning. And what a wonderful, wonderful wedding gift to give to your child. Have a great marriage. I'm divorcing your mom. Unforgiveness hurts you. Overlook those offenses. Now, there's another principle right there in verse 11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. And we've seen that in several Proverbs. The idea, we are to be those who become slow to anger. So don't let that fire burn as quickly as others. But I think there's a practical application to that. Man, when you feel the anger coming on, when you get in that heat of the moment, delay your response. Delay your response. Just choose. I'm not going to say anything. Get away from the situation. Go take a walk around the block. Delay any response. Slow to anger. It's been said the greatest remedy for anger is delay. And sometimes the delay has to be long. Maybe a couple days, maybe a week. I love what Abraham Lincoln used to do. Whenever he had to write a letter to someone who had irritated him, he would always write two letters. The first letter was deliberately insulting, venting. Then after getting all of those feelings out of his heart, he'd tear up the letter. And then he'd write a second letter, one with tact, one that was discreet. That's good. Delay that response. Do what you can. Man, I have found that if I ever rush a response in anger, I always make it worse. Have you found that? Especially in the world of email, we really need to be cautious. Boy, you can write some pretty fiery emails real quick, can't you? And you hit send and it's gone and you can't take it back. Think through it. Delay. Some of you might say, but Terry, I got to be me. I got to be myself. I just got to speak up. A woman like that came to Billy Sunday and she said, there's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I blow up and then it's all over. So does a shotgun, Sunday said. And look at the damage that it leaves behind. Swallowing angry words before you say them is better than having to eat them afterwards. Amen? So, slow down. Slow that reaction. Delay the reaction. Look at chapter 15. This is the classic verse on this. Verse 1. Oh, this is good. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If you're in an angry situation and you don't have time to delay and you have to say, let me tell you this, speak softly. Speak softly. Whisper. Speak gently. That turns away wrath. That's like throwing water on the fire. An insult, a scream, a shout, a curse. That's throwing fuel on the fire. Speak softly. Folks, that verse works. It really does work. It's worked many, many times in my life. In fact, I've told you this, some of you, the story before, but every time I read Proverbs 15:1, I'm reminded of what the Lord did in my life several years ago when I was working as an engineer in Albuquerque. I'd read this verse in one of my quiet times, and I asked the Lord to give me an opportunity that day to use that verse. I want to try that one out, Lord. And I want to try it out today. And so I went to work that day looking, you know, somebody say something mean to me. Somebody get in my face, you know. Let me try this. Nothing happened all day at work. And I was bummed. It was a peaceful day. Should have been happy. But then I left work. And I pulled out of our parking lot there, and there's a curve that comes around and then a light right here. And I pulled out, and somebody flying around, doing 80, 85 miles, just screaming around. I totally cut this person off. He had to brake, but we didn't collide or anything. And so we went to the light, and he pulled up right next to me. And I got my chance. This man rolled down his window. He used every word in the book. I thought he was going to come out of the window. Blah, 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 blah. I rolled down my window and smiled. It was so funny. It was just like that. And I just said, you know, I am so sorry that I cut you off. I got to tell you, I really didn't mean to do that. And you know, you were coming around that corner awfully fast, don't you think? I just didn't see you. I'm amazed you were able to brake. I'm thanking God for that. He was all. He got glazed over. Glazed over. And then he said,
That's cool.
That's cool. Shut the window. Back to his car, looking straight ahead. It worked! It really does. It really, really works. I want you to consider those principles. Don't be influenced by angry people. Don't hang out with all these angry people. Overlook the hassles. And in the big things in life, yeah, you have to treat those, but there's always got to be forgiveness for your benefit. Delay your reaction in anger. And if you are in an angry moment, diffuse the situation by speaking softly. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I do pray once again that you would get us off the dangerous path. And I would pray for anyone here this morning right now who could admit that they're that angry person. Lord, I want to pray for that person. I ask that you would free that person. I ask that you would strengthen, really, all of us to manage our anger. God, may we be peacemakers. You know, with every head bowed and eye closed, it really does need to be said that anger is an ugly part of the flesh. It's an ugly part of our old nature. That wrath, that flying off the handle. If you're here this morning and you're a born-again Christian, the Scripture says, put off the old nature and put on the new nature. And the Scripture says, walk by the power of the Spirit, not according to the flesh. If you're a Christian here this morning and you struggle with this, then you need to confess that to your Lord right now this morning. And you need to commit right now to your Lord with your family in mind. Think about your family. That you're going to begin waking up every morning and starting your day off in a time of prayer, where you are crying out to the Lord every single morning to help you with your anger. Where you are crying out to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you will get victory in this area in your life. But perhaps there's somebody here this morning and the word anger, fury, wrath could be pasted across your whole life. You just become so angry at life. Maybe even angry at God. Angry at people. And this morning you would say, I'm tired of that anger. I want to replace that anger with love. With peace. Maybe the cry of your heart would be, Lord, settle me. Just settle me down. Anger's a tough one to beat, my friend. You can't do it in your own strength. You need God's help. The Bible says that God sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for the sins of the world, and He rose again that third day. He's alive today. The Scripture says that if a person will place their faith in Christ, in confess their sin and place their faith in Christ. But that person can be forgiven of all their sins. That person becomes born again, gets a new nature, gets the Holy Spirit living inside them. And then you have that power. You have the ability to become a child of God. If you haven't placed your faith in Christ, if you haven't become a child of God, then you need to right now. Only He can take that anger away. And if I have anybody here this morning who'd like to do that, you have that opportunity. Raise your hand right now. Say, Terry, that's me. I want to receive Christ as my Savior right now. Anybody here need to make that very important decision? Then, Heavenly Father, as we close this morning, we all make the decision to surrender our hearts afresh to You. Thank You for being our Lord, our Savior. And we ask, Lord, that You would give us the power, power from on high, power by Your Holy Spirit, to live lives that please You, to find the abundant life in obeying Your Word. May You bless us, Lord, with Your peace. Lord, in this week of Thanksgiving, we give great thanks for all that You've done. First and foremost, Lord, for salvation, for the hope of heaven. Protect people this week on travels. May there be good family get-togethers, good friendships. May Your presence be with us wherever we go. May we depend upon You wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a final song.
Is the messenger of the cross that we can be free to live in the victory and turn from our sins, my precious Lord Jesus. As soon as You died, there You revealed Your love. The dream of the world.